On today's episode of Insights, do candidates actually read blog posts? How can you get over your fear of pressing record and start creating video content? And we chat about the newest ebook from Haley Marketing Group. Today's episode of Insights is brought to you by Haley Marketing's Hot Summer Deals. Looking to fire up your marketing or recruiting? Let us help light the fire. To learn more about Haley Marketing's 8 Hot Summer Deals, visit haleymarketing.com/summer. Or click the link in the show notes. This is Insights.
Welcome to Insights. Tips and best practices from the insiders at Haley Marketing. Insights will provide you with the tools you need to master your social media, digital marketing, and employer branding. Your hosts for Insights are Brad Biley and Matt Lozar.
What's up? This is Brad Biley, and welcome back to another episode of Insights, the podcast built to help you with your recruitment and digital marketing. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing, Matt Lozar. Matt, how are things going this week?
Things are great for me, Brad, but we're gonna flip this one on its head and ask, get a little personal, ask Brad, how are things going? He is now an official, honest to goodness, homeowner.
I'm a homeowner. We bought a house, my wife and I. Things are going well. We laid some grass seed the other day. See, the old owners, they had a nice play set. I didn't want that. So we have a big patch of grass coming in right now that I'm excited about. Things are good, though. Things are going really well.
You've planted grass, you've cleaned out a laundry sink, and you've hung blinds. You've gotten a pretty good experience the first 2 weeks.
I've done quite a bit, Matt, and if you're following along on Twitter, things are certainly heating up, doing a lot of home repair. Not a lot to do, but certainly getting my hands dirty and getting involved in the old home ownership.
Good luck to you and Rachel, and let's get it done.
Content Blueprint.
Matt, for 16 episodes now, we've talked about content marketing. We've gotten very tactical in talking about how to create the perfect headline. We've talked about how to plan your blog posts by answering questions you get asked frequently. But one thing that we haven't talked about, do candidates actually read blog posts?
Yes. Short answer is yes.
The short answer is yes. They do still read content. They do still read blog posts.
And we'll see it when we look at website analytics for, you know, companies we work with, or if it's on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn with the insights and analytics those platforms provide. You know, when you look at candidates versus clients, candidates definitely read content more than clients. Not to say you should ignore that client audience, but when you write content that speaks to your audience is going to read it if it provides value.
And if you're listening right now and you're not sure if candidates are reading your blog posts, I would encourage you to download and install Google Analytics onto your blog. Make sure that you're tracking your website traffic to understand what blog posts are being read. If you're creating content and you're publishing that on LinkedIn Pulse, look at who is reading those posts. Look at the numbers. Actually go through your specific data to understand what topics resonate well with your specific audience.
And we like to, here on Insights, rely on that data. And it's, you could think when you create your content plan that we've talked about on past episodes, you know, this topic in July or September or November or March could work really well, but we have to let the data play out and see what resonates with our audience and then really focus on that type of content that's getting the engagement and do more of that or even repurpose it.
It's really a common theme on Insights is looking at data, looking at what's working and using that to our advantage. We can anecdotally say, yes, candidates read blog posts, but really it comes down to looking at your specific website traffic or it looks at one of the blogs that we're actively managing. So if we think about what topics candidates are reading, really it matters on industry. It's based on location. It's that specific candidate, that audience that we're speaking to. Matt, I know you wanted to talk about unicorn content. So why don't you walk us through what unicorn content is?
Unicorn content is a phrase I like to attribute to Larry Kim. Larry Kim is the CEO of Mobile Monkey. He also talks like the Micro Machines man, if you want to go back to the days when somebody talked about 8,000 words a minute. But I like his way to term unicorn content, and it's really your best performing blog post. You know, some people would say your top 1-3%, the content that works the best, the content that drives the most traffic, that gets the most shares, the most comments, the most likes, you know, and you really need to focus on that type of content to one, capitalize on it, and then in the present, and then two, in the future, How can you build off of it to deliver more to your audience?
And what's important to remember there is you don't know what content is going to become that unicorn content. You don't know, well, you can make educated guesses into what content your audience will like and enjoy and read. You don't know exactly how that's going to take off. It's really like a best-selling book, right? So you can have a whole library full of content or books. You don't know which is going to become that top seller, that bestseller that gets the most reads, that gets the most traffic. So if you think about your blog relative to a library, you want to create multiple pieces of content. You want to create different topics, different themes, answer different questions, but always come back to that data and look at what is that unicorn content? What blog article is really fueling all of the traffic to our website? And then from there, Matt, what should you do with unicorn content? What should you do if content actually sticks out well above the rest?
We should share it to more places. You know, with continually sharing it to Facebook or in your email marketing or put advertising behind it. You know, share some different headlines for it too. You know, try out different headlines that also could maybe even reach to more audience. Your original headline works, maybe a variant of that headline, maybe a different image or just different location could really work well. And then also, what can you do to repurpose it? It could be a video, it could be an infographic, you know, a slide share, but also maybe more written content in the future. If it's, you know, something very simple, 5 awesome resume tips to find you your next job, you know, maybe then expand each of those 5 tips, resume to or interview tips into new blogs.
Yeah, and what you'd want to do there is link all of those together. Yep. Start to build some sort of content hub where that unicorn content is leading out like spokes to other pieces of content. Those articles are linking back to that main article. Get all of those talking to each other and communicating with each other so that you have this funnel inside of your blog, this ecosystem where content is linking from article to article. I love the thought of using different headlines. And oftentimes when we're consulting with clients throughout the industry or we're consulting with different staffing and recruiting firms, the thought is, okay, if I publish a blog article, I then share it once on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. And once it's shared, we never really go back to that. What we want to get into a habit of doing is repurpose that article in multiple ways. So think about how you can break down that one article into 15 to 20 different shareables. How can you post that blog every Thursday in a different way so that we're still getting traction out of that? We're still driving traffic back to that one blog post.
Right. Go to newspapers, go to Inc. or Forbes, yep. Go to Entrepreneur, go to marketing companies that have blogs and see what they do. See how they repurpose headlines, repurpose the same blog. Like, they've gotten me before. Like, I've clicked on a blog one day and maybe it was later that day or a couple weeks later, I've clicked on the same blog and I'm like, I already read this. You know, tip my hat to you, but sure. You know, I gave him another click. But, you know, what can you do to really leverage that best content to reach the most amount of people possible?
So to wrap this up, do candidates still read blog posts? The answer is absolutely. While we look at the social landscape and we look at content shifting towards video and imagery and audio, there's still roots in written content. And we've talked on Insights before about having content variety. Much like the evening news, where some people can watch the news in the morning, some watch it at night, some get look at Twitter for their news, or some read the actual newspaper, you don't know how your particular candidates are going to consume your content. So look at the data, trust the data, look for that unicorn content that stands out, and then start to build an ecosystem of content that all talks to each other and relates to each other in one cohesive strategy. We're going to take a real quick break. When we get back, Matt and I are going to talk about why you should get over your fear of pressing record.
Hi, this is David Stearns, CEO at Haley Marketing. It's summer, and that's our favorite time of the year. So to celebrate, we're having hot deals on several of our most popular services, including websites, blogging, video marketing, recruiting, digital dominance, and our award-winning content marketing service, Haley Mail. Want to know more about our hot summer deals? Check out haleymarketing.com/summer.
Social reach.
If you've spent any time on Facebook, Instagram, or even LinkedIn over the past 2 to 3 months, you've probably noticed the rise of video content. With phone cameras becoming a simpler and often comparable rival to entry-level digital cameras, it's no secret that social users are creating and uploading more video content than ever before. But this segment is about the front-facing camera. As we look at social video, it's easy to press record and document what you're seeing. What about turning that camera toward you? Matt, how can recruiters get over the fear of pressing record? How can we, as an industry, start to share more videos?
I think this is a multi-layer issue. I think the first part is just getting comfortable talking. It's just your delivery. It's feeling comfortable talking on a topic, which I think is the next part. But that first one of eliminating ums or uhs or likes, and it has to be a conscious decision to really feel comfortable and not nervous when getting in front of a camera. And, you know, one of the best tips I ever heard was just talk to people. Like, it might seem a little weird, but in a really, you know, how can you be a, you know, genuine, nice person? Just find somebody that looks like, you know, talk to them at the grocery store or like wherever you are to like have a conversation. You'll be able to read if they want to talk more or not. But I think just getting comfortable in your delivery is a huge first step.
I agree. And if we think about talking on a topic that you're comfortable with, start with what you know. Think about the job order that you're trying to fill. Think about what you're looking for in an all-star candidate. Think about what it takes to make it from a stack of resumes to cut through the clutter. Think about your day-to-day. Don't start with a topic much like grade school. Don't start with a presentation that you know nothing about. Present on something that you know and press record. And I think this relates back to your next point, Matt, is actually just press record in practice. Watch it back and look at what you're doing in practice.
All right. If you want to, you know, get practice repetitions and
learn. Talk about practice.
We're talking about practice. And just to you know, if you don't want to do record something, then post it instantly to a LinkedIn or to a Facebook or to your website, then, you know, try one, learn from it, try another one, learn from it, move on. But even when Brad's talking about something you're knowledgeable about, like when I do the Matt Minute videos on LinkedIn, I don't go in with a script. I go in with a topic I'm knowledgeable about. My latest one's going to be about Facebook jobs. Yep. I have about 2 to 3 talking points, and then I just talk. And if I record it once, if I recorded it again 5 minutes later, the theme would probably be the same, but it would be different because I have a firm belief that if you go in, and I've seen a lot of, I used to be an adjunct professor at a local college, and when you see undergraduate students or graduate students talk and try to read a script and really go through what they're talking, they stumble because they're trying to be perfect. I really think if you just have those main thoughts, have all of your knowledge just flow through and just talk about a subject that you're very, very knowledgeable about, you're going to do a much better job.
Absolutely. And there's a point here too that I think we need to address is how do you get over the thought that, well, oh, people might judge me. People might watch this video and think negatively of my mannerisms or how I'm talking or how I'm conveying this message. You know, for me personally, as I started creating more video content, as I started speaking more, as we went through insights, it was a bit of a challenge to get over, well, if I'm posting this content, what are other people thinking? And it really comes down to you as an individual being comfortable in your own skin and saying, listen, here are my goals. I want to actively recruit 10% more individuals this year than I did last year and put them out on assignment. To do that, I am going to position myself as an all-star recruiter. To do that, I'm going to share video content on LinkedIn. Understanding your why helps justify everything that you're doing, and then you start to forget about all the other noise. You start to forget about, oh, well, what if my old buddy from high school or college, you know, starts to make fun of me on Twitter because I'm posting this? You know your why. Let them get caught in the weeds. Focus on what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, that's a really good topic you bring up because, and it's something I'm trying to be more empathetic to people because there is that hurdle, mental hurdle they have to get over.
Right.
And it could be just because I am, do some math, 36 years old. Like, I don't care.
Sure.
And that's challenge for a lot of people to get to that mindset because if one hater on Twitter or LinkedIn says, oh, this video stinks or you don't know what you're talking about, because people like to do that on the internet,
yep,
you're going to let that affect you more than the 10 people that said like, or the person said, great job. You know, we learned a lot from this.
It's unfortunate because it is like an online review. That negativity will always sting harder than the positive praise. You'll feel that praise. And it is unfortunate, but you need to always come back to what it is you're trying to accomplish. What are your goals? What are you trying to achieve and come back to understanding your why?
Yeah. And with, you know, the videos that I do, like my goal is to help staffing agencies be better at marketing or recruiting. And, you know, the reason Haley Marketing Group exists is to help people find jobs and to help more people, you know, have paychecks and all of those really good things. And when you can get back to that really good mission or values that you're trying to do to help people, like, why are you providing this content? That can really help you stay in that positive attitude when you're recording the video.
Right. And I'm going to stay on that, Matt, because I think instinctively people see, you know, these motivational speakers, let's say Gary Vee, for example, right? And, oh, he must have a massive ego because he puts out 20 videos a day. He must love seeing himself on social media. It's not about that. It's the value that you provide the people that are looking at that content. And it's exactly what you just said. You need to think about why you're doing this. How are you helping somebody else? If you're creating content and you're creating videos because it's ego-driven, ultimately you're going to fail in the long run. Think about what you're trying to do. In the staffing and recruiting industry, we're putting great people to work. We're providing people with job opportunities where they can then take their family on vacation or afford Christmas gifts, right? We're in a fantastic industry. Always remember that and always come back to that why when you're thinking about creating that video content. So Matt, to wrap this up, if we think about how to get over the fear of pressing record, I think really I want to break it down into this. The first, record 3 to 5 videos where you're talking about a hot job, you're talking about the ideal candidate that you're looking for, you're talking about the best resume tips or questions that you get asked frequently. Record 3 to 5 of those videos on your iPhone or on your mobile device and simply watch them back. That's all I want you to do is just record them, watch them back, and learn from what you've done. So think about what you're doing, if it's certain nuances that you have when you're speaking or maybe you're moving your arms too frequently. Think about what you're doing and try to correct that if you want to. We also want you to stay human, so don't become a robot when you're on camera. Come back to trying those 3 to 5 times, understand what you're doing, and then on that 6th one, actually go live with it. I challenge you that by the end of August, you come through these series of steps, you try 3 to 5 different videos, and by the end of August, you actually share that video content on a site like LinkedIn. And when you do, please let us know. You can tweet at Matt or myself. Please let us know about that first video that you go live with. We would love to see it.
Seen and heard.
Matt, I know you had a direct impact on the newest ebook from Haley Marketing Group. So let's talk about your guide to programmatic job advertising, the 12-page ebook built to help you fill more job orders faster without spending more. Matt, to get started, I want to go all the way back to the foundation. What is programmatic job advertising?
I've thought about this question a lot because I get it a lot. And I think on the very highest level service, it's performance-based advertising. It's using your data and your business goals and strategy to continually fill that candidate pipeline for staffing agencies and using data and insights to make the best decisions possible. What that could mean for some staffing companies, they want as many applications as humanly possible. So our goal is going to be to find the lowest cost per application. For other companies, it's going to be, let's get more jobs with more applications, because a lot of times, let's say you post, just for example, 50 jobs on a job board, Indeed, ZipRecruiter, CareerBuilder, Monster, etc. You know, a decent percentage of them may not get applications. So we're going to get more applications for you because it's a performance-based strategy and tactic.
So in simple terms then, programmatic job advertising would be an automated way to manage that job advertising on a job board.
Yeah, it's using, I like the three parts of the definition. Like I say, you're using math, you're using strategy, and you're using technology to optimize your recruitment budget more efficiently.
So it's basically like understanding that you have $100, mm-hmm. right? $100 a month, and knowing what jobs are going to get promoted or shown more, generate more applications within that parameter, but done mathematically.
It would probably need to be more than $100.
Sure. I like using easy numbers.
But sure, we'll say $1,000 just for easy and just, sure. You know, what can be distributed to your 20 jobs. You know, you can start with an even budget of $50, but as anybody out in, you know, that runs a staffing or recruiting business knows, you know, some of your jobs need more, some of your jobs need less, and that's how we can leverage to make sure you're not overspending on some jobs and some of your jobs are not underperforming.
Is programmatic job advertising for everybody in all niches, or would you say it's better for one specific industry instead of another?
It it can definitely be used for any industry. And this takes me back to a quote I really like from the CEO of Smashfly, Tom Kenny, where he talks about, and this isn't just programmatic, this is anything. The technology isn't the answer. It's how do we implement that technology to be the answer, essentially. I paraphrased him a little bit, but it's like with anything, like it's social media, it's email, it's anything you use in marketing or any technology. It's how do you use it to help your business? Like we kind of talked about earlier with the technology in healthcare, it's going to be a different strategy than using it in warehouse workers. You know, we need to really find ways to generate applications for healthcare, because we might have to go to a different job board because there's more healthcare workers on a Next or on a nursejobs.com, where for warehouse workers, it could be, let's just focus on Indeed or focus on ZipRecruiter. And that's a very low level, you know, kind of way we can do it, but it works for any industry, any job, any niche. It's just finding the right strategy and tactic to leverage it to make your job spend more efficient.
So as director of recruitment marketing at Haley Marketing Group, you're overseeing the programmatic strategy for quite a few staffing firms now. What is success starting to look like when you look at the various campaigns that you're overseeing?
Like we talked about, I talked about earlier, there's a client we have that has, they have offices in Alabama, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, and they've literally told me, bring me as many applications as we can. We have a client that is in the Georgia area that focuses on some warehouse, some general staffing is one category. The second category is healthcare, and the third category is airport security. And we really focus on getting applications on all the jobs. So if they only have five applications after 2 days, we increase our bidding on that job because it's telling us it's not working. So for their goal is to get more applications on jobs. So if it's a very low total, let's spend more on those jobs that aren't working.
Sure.
But then once we reach the goal of 40 applications, we're going to stop because his team doesn't need more than 40 applications for jobs.
And programmatic advertising can do that then.
Right. And it's something that automatically works. Like we work hand in hand with clients to figure out what those parameters or triggers or rules or strategies are.
Let's talk about that one more time, because I just want to reiterate that and make sure the listener understands that. So you have a job on a job board. You understand that you only want 40 applications for that job because by data, you know that if you get 40 applications, there's probably a few qualified candidates in there, and that'll result in actually putting somebody on assignment. So programmatic job advertising lets you dictate how many applications you'll get per job until that job spend goes somewhere else.
Correct. We set it up so it's automatic. It's in real time. It's not like, you know, somebody from our team has to be sitting there 24/7 or there's a help desk or anything that really looks at it. It's setting up so that real-time data helps us make decisions instantaneously. So that's where that programmatic sense comes into play.
It sounds like a huge time save then, because if you have a recruiter in an office who is saying, okay, how many applications are coming in, and they're actually monitoring that, then they got to look at that all day. Then they need to shut it off. They have to turn another one on, promote another one. The software is doing all the work for you. It's being strategic through software.
And I think a lot of times where a lot of the time savings can also come into play is a lot of companies, staffing agencies, get focused on job slots where, sure, okay, we have 10 job slots for the month. We can put, you know, jobs in there all the time. We can move them in and out, but it's all manual. Right. It could be, you know, your staffing company posts a job, let's say today, and then all of a sudden, for some reason on Saturday, it got a lot of applications. It's going to keep wasting your money, wasting right, that spot over the weekend, that real estate spot you have. So you want to set it up in a way so once that job reaches your goal, it stops and we can get sponsorship to more jobs. And to really take it to that next level, like we've talked about reaching application goals, you know, we want to make sure we're spending on the right job boards. That's where revenue comes into play. Sure. So if, like Brad said, if we know we have 40 applications coming in, let's say we have 20 from Indeed, 20 from ZipRecruiter, you know, the cost per application could be different from different job boards, but like any staffing agency knows, and I've had prospects on the phone tell me, I don't care how many applicants you give me, we need hires. Yep. Like literally, that's all that matters. And we actually had a conversation with Indeed last week about this, and the director of sales there goes, I get it, staffing, hires, that's all that matters.
Yep.
Because it's not a cost center like it is for big traditional HR departments or companies. It's staffing, the hires are the lifeblood, and they need those hires to keep the business going. And that's where if you can say, okay, we get our most hires from ZipRecruiter Indeed might be cheaper, but ZipRecruiter, we got to put money there, or vice versa, however it works.
So let me ask you this, Matt. If the software exists, this programmatic job advertising software exists in the wild, why should somebody come to, you know, an outsourced management? Why should somebody trust, maybe a little self-serving here, why should somebody even trust Haley Marketing Group to manage this when they could do it themselves?
It's a time savings, like anything you'd want to outsource. There probably will be a management cost on top of your current spend.
With anybody.
Right. You're having someone else do that, but you also have to look at the flip side of that. Is, let's say I'm paying somebody X amount of dollars per month. You know, maybe it's saving me 5 hours a week, 10 hours a week, 50 hours a month. What can I do in that other time? Your team could actually go out and recruit.
Yep.
When recruiting is impossible right now for a lot of industries. You know, if we can deliver more applications on more jobs, your team can be faster and more responsive, because time to fill and speed to hire is of the essence right now. It's the most important thing. Let's say that application comes in at noon today. How quickly can your team get that candidate on the phone or send them a text message to follow up so maybe you can put them to work tomorrow or in a couple days?
Matt, anything else from the ebook that you put together here that you want to share before we wrap up this segment?
No, I don't think. I think it's a big, scary word. Like, programmatic is a big, scary word just because it is. It's a lot of syllables. It sounds very complex. And I know that can turn people off to even trying the tactic. But recruitment spend can definitely be used more efficiently. And I think we sometimes hold new technologies like programmatic to a higher standard than our old tactics. Like, we have classified ads in the newspaper. Does anybody really know how effective those are? But with programmatic technology, people ask a million questions and they're like, well, this might not work. This might, you know, this can be too complex, blah, 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 blah. So what can you do? You know, keep an open mind to it and really talk to someone who's an expert, read some resources and figure and learn to see if the technology can be leveraged in the right way to help your staffing agency be more efficient and get more hires.
If you'd like to download your guide to programmatic job advertising, we'll include the link to the show notes below to that 12-page ebook exclusively on HaleyMarketing.com. That's our show, and thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, we ask that you please share it with just one coworker this week. Have a question for us? You can tweet us at Haley Marketing and let us know what you're thinking, or email info@HaleyMarketing.com. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. You can check out HaleyMarketing.com to get in touch with our team of marketing educators. From my podcast partner, Matt Lozar, this is Brad Biley. We'll see you next time.